Item three, update from the investment consultant search committee and staff regarding finalized for the general investment consultant search.
It's lopsided. Everybody over there.
This is the power wind.
It's a ship. Yeah, I know. One of us ought to go over there.
Trust me, there's enough weight on this side to balance everything.
I will.
Well played, sir. Well played. I'll provide a little bit of introduction to the consultant search process. I think we went over a lot of this back in January, but we'll go over it again. And then I'll ask John and Jerry and Deborah to provide some kind of some of the insights that the committee had in coming to Wirtz's selection. We have Wirtz here. We'll bring in the proposed team of Scott Whalen, Ed Hoffman, and Jeff McLean. And it's really your forum to pepper them with questions, talk about philosophy, talk about implementation, how they propose to communicate with you all, that sort of thing. But this is your collective forum with the prospective investment consultant today. So you've got a very thick packet here, the consultant search committee report, which kind of walks through the timeline, how the committee came to choose one finalist to recommend to the full board, and a number of samples of reports and projects from Wirtz. In the very back of that, and I'm sorry I got buried, but on page 133 is the report from Cortex, the outside party that assisted. This is Tom Iannucci, who assisted with the governance review and helped run the search process. His assessment of Wirtz's RFP response is back there as well. From a timeline perspective, this is the end of a very long process. The board authorized this search in January 2014, which I thought it would take 6 to 9 months. Obviously, I underestimated a little bit. But the rough timeline is the board voted in January 2014 to do the consultant search after the announced retirement of Bob Hellison, and the committee was formed. The committee engaged with Cortex as an outside party to help run the search process and do the governance review in April. We had the governance review in July, issued the RFP in September, whittled down the list of respondents in November. Staff did on-sites with 8 prospective consultants in the month of December, really to vet the technical qualifications. We provided that feedback to the committee. The committee chose to interview 3 firms and chose Wirtz as the best fit. Once we got down to those 3 firms, we were looking at fit more than anything else. They were very highly qualified firms. The committee's feeling was the fit was strongest with Wirtz here. There is a lot of material in here, but I am going to, rather than repeat things that the committee might say or Wirtz might present, maybe I'll turn to the committee members to ask them to throw their 2 cents in here.
Go ahead, John.
I was going to, where at least I had the chance, I think, to try and bring down to key bullet points why I, and I think collectively, where we felt the way we did on choosing Wirtz is on page 7. The proposed team, and we met with each of the proposed teams, I felt, and I think we all felt, was the best fit for us collectively. We're really talking about how they came across, how they presented themselves, how they described their services. Jerry was very interested in their independence, and each was asked to talk about that, but we ended up feeling that they would be the right fit. And I, my own reaction for my period here with Milliman was that Bob Hellison was a classic right fit kind of consultant for this kind of a board in serving us. And so we did have a model that I think to some degree all of us at least directly or indirectly alluded to or looked to in making that kind of judgment. The client base is an excellent fit. They have a number of public plans in our size, and so in serving us, They are also serving several of our counterparts. I have a very clear, broad experience in doing that. One of the other two had a good fit, but the third one, probably number two of the three, did not. They're large enough, so that we really do have some backup, some depth, and my sense was that our current provider really did not. But they're not too large. You know, part of what you're looking for, I think, is large enough to meet all of your needs, but not so large that you are not an important player in their program. Very thoughtful plan and organization. If you had a chance to go through the attachments, I think you'll be very pleased with what you see as the kind of report that we might anticipate receiving. I think it's a significant improvement over what we have been getting on our quarterly reports. They appear to write and communicate very well. I guess that was my last point on that. And I would say I personally would look to Tim on the managing of risk part, but clearly managing of risk is a very important part of how they serve their client base and what they are focused on in a variety of quite technical and sophisticated ways. And they came across better than anybody else in that regard. So anyway, that's a quick outline from my perspective. And Debbie and Jerry?
It's a nice summary.
Are they Seahawks fans?
It's an excellent question.
Well, we have to put up.
We intentionally didn't ask.
There we go.
Scott went to USC. We decided not to hold that against him.
You want to go or you want me to go?
Go ahead.
When we did the evaluation, I had a personal bias when we started this. I knew Wirtz, after reading all of the paper and doing the research, was going to come in the top three. They just were a solid organization, but I had reservations about Scott Whalen. I really did, because I was at a conference and Scott made a real effort to come and talk to me. And I didn't know whether that it was a hustle or that was just, you know, Scott being Scott. But in that conversation, I also felt a very forcefulness in Scott and the way he came across. So I had real reservations about his personality. I thought he was too forceful, and would be too domineering, and I wasn't comfortable, because you know how Bob Hillison is, and you know how we've been with Bob throughout the years, and Bob is not the opposite, but he seemed like the opposite to me, and so I had that reservation. On paper, when Tim and his team visited the seven people, on paper, when you scored it, when they scored it out, NEPC looked like the number one contender at that point. After that, and that before we interviewed him, just before we interviewed him, I called people who are with NEPC and got some information that I shared with the group that I didn't feel very comfortable about. And so when we then interviewed them, and Scott Whalen from Wirtz came in, and that team started to talk. They talked as a team, and Scott, much to my amazement, was not anything like he was when I had met him at the conference. And it was like, it wasn't a different person. He was Scott Whalen, but he wasn't forceful. He wasn't pushing. He was there to let us know what their organization has to offer us, and how they see it. I came across, I was only able to stay for two of the presentations, so when I had to leave, I indicated to the group that I really was impressed with Wirtz, and that was my first choice. And so that's how far I came with the selection, and I want the board to know that. And so they were in the end my first choice. What I did like about them is the team approach. I think Ed is a gentle, easy backup to Scott. I prefer Scott doing most of our work, but I like Ed Hoffman, and I think he'll do well. And I also like the risk analysis when they talked about how they do their risk analysis with clients. I felt very comfortable with that. And Jeff, he's the man. I asked an important question, and I think I shared this with you earlier, but I asked it of each group. And that question was, if you are coming to us with an investment and you believe in that investment, and in your presentation you find out our inside consultant is not in agreement with you, and he voices the opinion that he's not in agreement with you, what are you going to do? And the answer we got from Wirtz was clear. It was really clear. We're going to present what we think is the best thing. Hopefully that won't happen, because we'll talk before we present, but we're going to present what we think is the right thing for your board to do. And that said lots to me about when they do something, they back what they say, and they're going to follow through with it. So, and then, you know, it puts it on us. We have to, in the end, do the voting, but at least we get what they really say. They're not going to be, I got the impression they're not going to be influenced by what Tim says, you know, or tries to push. They're going to do what's best for our investments and what's best for us. So there be it. That's why I think Wirtz is a good organization and one that we ought to go with.
So I would concur with everything that the two of them have said. I think this was a good process for us, although it probably was
exhaustive
particularly for Tim and staff. It was a good process to go through from the very beginning, starting with a consultant, with Cortex, looking at the entire population of people who could possibly be our consultant, and then starting to whittle it down based on what suited our needs. I don't think it could have gone any better. Ultimately, you know, when we were presented with, I think we got it down to 9 or so, when we really got into the weeds of each of those particular firms, it was really pretty apparent that there were 3 of them that sort of just popped out from the rest of them as potential good fits. And then that was a difficult decision. I think all 3 of those firms were potential good fits, and but I think for the things, you know, what Jerry was describing is what I refer to as the who's your daddy question.
Which is kind of the way, didn't they phrase it that way?
I did.
But they picked up on it right away.
Okay. But in the end, I think it is important that everyone understand, particularly the trustees, that this board hires the consultant. Although Tim and staff have done a tremendous job of doing all the research, the site visits, and reporting back to us on what they found, in the end, we are the ones hiring the consultant, and we expect the consultant to work with Tim and all of us as a team. It's one way of doing it. Early on in the process, Cortex presented, I think we had some presentation in the board meeting on other governance structures in other agencies. Some agencies will have a primary consultant like this that really only works, well, primarily works for the board, and then staff has its own consultants. you know, we're probably not ready for that yet, that form of governance, but that's also an interesting approach. But in the end, I think we have to do, we do all have to remember the fiduciary obligation is that this consultant works primarily and first for the board. And so the question of who's your daddy was also an important question for me, and I think that Wirtz answered that in the best light. I think there were some other minor for some, less minor or more major for others, but there were some other considerations in terms of financial strength. Looking at, for me as an accountant, the financial statements were important. We had one candidate who did not have audited financial statements. I think that was, you know, somewhat of a disadvantage for them.
Oh, the top three, you're saying?
Yeah.
Who's that? You see who?
Yeah, I don't think it matters. No. They know who they are. So I think it really came down to Wirtz seemed to be a good fit personality-wise. Staff seemed to believe that the site visit was a good site visit, or, you know, strong one. And I concur with the rest of the committee in recommending Wirtz.
One other point for me too is, I think are we going to be their largest or their third largest client?
Third.
I think we're going to be their third largest
Indiana
client.
Indiana and one.
Yeah, which puts us in a pretty good position. It puts us in a pretty good light in terms of wanting things. So that's, I just wanted to mention.
Two other quick things that might come to everybody's mind. By the time we got down to the final three, from a fee point of view, they were reasonably competitive with one another and with the broader group. We did have outliers that we eliminated, at least in part, because their fees were clearly out of line with where the group was. But there was really not a fee issue between the three. The other thing is references. References just came back beautifully for Wirtz. This is Cortex doing the referencing work. But, you know, in general, I don't think you see a set of referencing notes better than what Wirtz had, which says, obviously, their current clients' funds think highly of them.
And former clients as well.
And former, yeah.
I just wanted to comment just on the process, and I wanted to thank Tim and his team for a good, deliberate process that we've had. This is obviously, asset allocation to Sisera is a very important decision on how we're going to proceed, and you know, it's important that we have a good process behind that decision-making, which I can vouch has occurred here. So,
on that note, I mean, this introduces this particular group. A new approach, which is more of a liability allocation.
The asset liability study?
Well, there's the liability, asset liability study,
Liability driven investment,
right.
LDI.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Which have we entertained before?
We have not entertained an LDI approach, right, per se. I would say they're liability aware. We're not looking at a long bond portfolio, which would be a pure corporate LDI approach. But I think the role of liabilities is going to be more prominent in the asset liability study from Wirtz than what we've had in the past model.
I can volunteer, Rusty, when I had some modest involvement in that world, and I tell you it was 20, 25 years ago. What you had were bonds that had yields of 6, 7, 8, 9%, and so matching liabilities with assets made a lot more sense. That when you could do that on a bond portfolio, when you've got the kinds of yields we've got today, it's incredibly hard to come up with any kind of return other than a 2% interest assumption and make something like that work. And if we were to go to a 2% interest assumption instead of our 7.25, we'd have a very different profile in all kinds of ways.
People jumping out of windows.
And just to follow up on that, just because there is kind of the concept of your liability stream and the matching there, and the concept of more of a risk-centric approach do tend to get blended together because they're usually part of the same conversation. I think where Wirtz comes out is a more risk-centric approach to asset liability modeling. So while they're not doing liability matching, they're trying to say how much equity risk is in your portfolio and is that appropriate? And so they're probably going to advocate for a lower equity allocation. We're jumping way ahead here, which is not necessarily a bad thing. I think the conversations I've been having with my staff have been more around we need to be focused on big drivers, getting the big picture correct, growth assets, income assets, inflation-sensitive assets, rather than getting hung up on domestic equity versus international equity versus domestic fixed income. Those labels, you know, they've served a purpose in the past. I don't think it's the best way to move forward, and that's where probably my way of thinking aligns with Wirtz's way of thinking on that front. So it's not a liability matching, but it's more of a risk-centric approach. Yeah.
Did the committee look at them as like who's going to get us the next 3 years, 5 years, 20 years? Is any of that thought through? Are they just the best overall?
In terms of a long-term
relationship? Yeah, I mean, you look like this, they're going to take us to the next level. Is this somebody we can be with?
I certainly looked at it that way, that this is a bigger firm with more resources than what we have had in the past. They were not the biggest. They were much larger firms that we could have considered. I think this was just a good fit in terms of our size and their size, and they have grown, and I would expect that as we come on as a client that they'll continue to grow with us. That would be the expectation.
Abe, I just offer, we certainly talked about exactly that in terms of who was going to be around and who might not be around, and that clearly came into play with the larger group. By the time we got down to the three, I think we were comfortable that all three would be here for the foreseeable future. The permanent future
right.
is a little harder.
Right.
We went through the traditional questions of, you know, who the key people are and where they are in their careers, and, you know, they all were asked, are any of you planning
how long are you going to be there?
Right. How long do you plan to be there? And I think that those were all answered satisfactory. But we get an opportunity to ask that again today.
And I would encourage you to ask the same question.
Yeah.
Then we can get it on a recording.
Yeah.
Jerry.
First, I certainly want to applaud the committee's work and the staff work. It was really excellent. Gives a new meaning to the word thorough. I also took the opportunity to increase my personal position in international paper. I bought several more shares after I read this because I know their future is strong. Some of the questions I have might be not better proposed to the guests, but I'd like to hear what your take would be on these two. First, at the outset, I have no problem with the recommendation, and I have the opportunity to support it today. I look forward to that. So, but, you know, there's a tendency, I think, on the part of a new firm, a new person, a new whatever, to show what they've got, which is probably a healthy tendency, and yet there's always that temptation maybe to violate that old thing, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And so did you get a sense from them, or do you have the expectation, I guess, that somehow this new firm has to come in and fix something that we're doing or fundamentally change something that we're doing that is broke?
Yeah, I think we got a great answer from them in terms of, here are a couple of things that we see that you could improve upon, but overall you've had a great track record and you've got a great portfolio, and we would, you know, this is what I was
hearing. This is them saying
them.
That about us.
Yeah.
They didn't throw something out at us and say, hey, your asset allocation is all screwed up, you need to do,
you
know, this, that, or the other. They were complimentary to what was happened in the past.
There's that old adage with the physicians, when first do no harm, you know, this idea of coming in and saying, we're going to turn this thing upside down, we're going to show what we can do, and 6 months later, they've shown you what they can do.
And you're
they can undo what you already had done. So, you know, it's not a huge concern on my part because I think we've got plenty of layers of people that are watching this, but I just wondered whether or not they might be, you got the sense they might be feeling that kind of pressure to make a
no,
big difference.
And Jerry, we asked that question, well, my staff asked that question of a broad group, and we got varying responses, but I thought WIRTS had three very specific, points they wanted to address with the board. Have you thought about X, Y, and Z? They gave us some rough guidance on where we might shift asset allocation, but it was, here's what you have today. It's good. Can we tweak it to make it better? Mm-hmm. Some of the other firms were, I think, much more forceful in the recommendation of what we have is not correct, and they have something that is correct. That's not the conversation we have with WIRTS.
Good. Okay. And other questions, I'll wait for that.
Well, I just want to follow on that point. I think we feel, though, or you feel, that on the go forward, the winds of change need to blow in the sense that we have to be adaptive to our own change condition, that is the number of people who we need to serve who become part of the retirement community versus the actives, what the investments have to generate in terms of paying that. And that, I'm at least I'm sensing that there's the thought that we can't be static, that is,
let me add a little nuance around,
you got the idea.
The conversation, the question that the committee posed to WIRTS was, what are your thoughts on our current portfolio? And I think WIRTS and other firms came back with a thoughtful analysis of the current portfolio and how we might tweak it. The conversation, I think, the second and the bigger picture, which is really the more important, is what are you going to do on the asset liability front and on the governance front? And that's probably where we need to take a look at more options. So while they're not going to come in here and overturn the portfolio on day one, they're probably going to push us on the asset liability side to consider some new ideas on alternative sources of income for paying beneficiaries, alternative governance structures to more efficiently manage the portfolio. So that's where I think they're going to try to drive change on the top level. The portfolio itself invariably will be altered. That's just going to happen. It's a dynamic portfolio.
It would have happened anyway.
It would have happened anyway. What we didn't see was them coming in and saying, this is dramatically wrong for your current situation. They're saying, this is broadly appropriate for your current situation. Here's the conversation we would like to have with you, though, on what actuarial issues are on the horizon, what demographic issues are on the horizon, what investment issues are on the horizon that needs to be built into a longer-term plan. And that's where the change will come.
Yeah, I mean, I would think for somebody coming in, we talk to them about this, the portfolio has done well. We've been, a well-performing system. We've met our obligations and then some. So for someone to come in and say it was broke, I would be surprised. I guess I'm a little surprised that some actually did say that, because I think we've done well. But I'm just suggesting that it seems to me, if you take the long view, which we must, we can't just keep doing what we're doing and expect that life is going to be beautiful and we're going to go on. We're going to have to adapt and change to meet that need long term, looking out 20 years.
Yeah, I think Jeff's looking to jump in here. So.
Sure. I think when we were going through this process, one of the things we were looking at was just the array of firms to say which firm has kind of a vision for a plan like ours as it grows to be a $10 billion or a $15 billion fund. That doesn't mean that they come in and they move the small levers right away and mix up managers because they feel like they need to make a change. But it is looking at a way of how the firm does stuff, how the firm looks at asset allocation, how the firm looks at implementing changes in client portfolios. And with that, I think WIRTS will do the big things differently than have been done in the past. But I think the goal with that is to do them in a way that would benefit our plan as it grows. So in response to the question, no firm came in and said, we're going to turn this whole thing upside down, we're going to change everything else. But we did see firms that said, what we're going to do is similar to things that have been done in the past. And that's where we said, that's not necessarily looking down the line, as you say. So in terms of, yes, we've performed well, I think there is the tendency for words to put their stamp on a risk front. So they're going to look at things in a risk-centric way, which we think is appropriate as our plan grows and matures.
So Gabe said this earlier, or asked it earlier, about our view about whether we were looking at our consultants to sort of take us to the next level. I think that was the phrase you used. And I had the same kind of question. We kind of feel that what we're doing is an upgrade, and we think an upgrade is necessary. Yes? Is that a fair assessment from the committee? Okay. So this is trying to take us to the next level of maybe a more what's the word I want?
Maybe dynamic approach.
Yeah, I guess a more thoughtful and long range dynamic associated with what our needs are to serve our population.
Yeah, I guess, Scott, I would characterize this as a more holistic approach. Rather than investments in isolation, benefit payments in isolation, a more holistic melding of the two. And looking at the risks associated with that. And I think when you bring a couple of dynamic systems together, by its very nature, you have to be more flexible, you have to be willing to challenge, you know, entrenched practices, although you recognize that they're entrenched for a reason, so you don't challenge everything willy-nilly. There is a sweet spot we're looking for here. I mean, we're talking about these distributions, and I don't think it's in this memo, but one of the pieces of guidance I put back to the committee was, you're going to see this distribution on a number of fronts. Extreme outliers don't tend to work really well. They just don't. I mean, we're looking for the sweet spot, somebody who can communicate well with the board, somebody who can work with staff, although recognize they work first and foremost for the board. Somebody who has the depth of resources to handle asset liability, manager due diligence, etc., but not be so big that we get a standardized approach. And it's that sweet spot of helping to move us forward, helping to partner with us when we don't know what the future is going to look like. So who can respond to unknown unknowns? Who's going to be flexible? Who's going to be dynamic? That's where we saw the greatest alignment here.
Scott, the term that jumps out to me in your question is thought leader. And from the beginning, for the original 13, Tim and team identified Wirtz as one of those that would be a thought leader, as contrasted to a compliance type orientation.
Yes, yeah, I think you captured that.
You know, we talked about that in a broad variety of ways, but it really ties to exactly your point. I think, are they likely to be out in front in recognizing issues that are coming down the pike? And they're big enough by having enough other major clients that to deal with best practices. I mean, the problem is when you only have one or two, you may not be big enough to in any real way be dealing with the kinds of best practices that the bigger ones, in fact, have to deal with.
Thank you. That's helpful.
One other question, I think more for the staff. The sense I get is that this is like a year-long transition, which is, if I'm reading that right, it's a long time. What is the, does Melman have a role in this transition, or are you envisioning what we used to call in the DP, you know, the IT business, a cold cut that basically says you don't get calls back from Melman, you don't make calls to them, they don't, you know, they don't answer your calls?
No, there'll be a transition period, but it's not a year-long transition. I think Wirtz has kind of mapped out what their first year would look like,
right,
their projects for the first year. The actual transition period is probably 2 to 3 months.
Okay.
There's a data transfer. When the data transfer is complete, there's a quality control check. We probably keep them both live during that period, verify that everything's been transferred, that we're up and running, and then you wind down the other one. And I think we have a 60 or 90 day notification period with Milliman too.
Yeah, my hope and expectation would be that Milliman would be professional about this and,
oh, absolutely,
and honor their commitments and whatnot. But you know, you can maybe envision something saying there's nobody calling back anymore. So hopefully they wouldn't burn
that has not been the case to date. Okay. I do, yeah.
Okay. Well, that helps because it looked like a year-long transition.
Yeah, it's I'd say everybody's a big boy in this process. Everyone takes their fiduciary responsibilities very seriously. this is a professional transfer of data.
Okay, good. Thank you. Kudos to the committee and staff, all of you. I realize we can sense how much work went into this, those of us who didn't have to do it. So thank you. Seriously, sincerely, thank you. It's a huge deal and really, really thorough.
Really great. I decided that I've been volunteering for the right committees. And skip this one.
My predecessor told me that he never served on a committee.
Wow. So do you have to maintain that?
That's after I told him that I was on that committee. For picking that. I was like, you should have told me that before. I'm
just kidding. Told you never volunteer for anything.
But for me, I want to thank you. Because going and finding Cortex and bringing that was a wonderful find and a great fit. And they did great work for us, and I was thankful for the conference calls and being able to exchange on the conference calls, and that they got a clear picture, I think, of what we were looking for, mm-hmm. and the kind of firms that we wanted, and they did a absolute great job. That was the first thing. The second thing I want to compliment you on is your team going and doing all of the on-sites on the seven that we came up with originally, and going to each one and doing your own due diligence, and then creating a report regarding your due diligence, which gave us a really clearer insight. I mean, there was, what did we have, 15? How many was there before we went down to 7?
13, I think.
13. And then when you got it down to 7, I mean, there was two or three in there that we automatically knew for one reason or another was too expensive or this or that or the other. We knew that they weren't going to make it, but narrowing it down to the three or four and giving us logic reasons why those three or four were there, and I added up the dots, and it was easy to score, and that was very, very helpful to me and made me focus more on the final three. I just think you did a wonderful job. It was appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you.
You and your team.
Yeah. I was going to say, I did not fly back to Boston in the middle of December. Those guys did.
Thank you.
Delegation, Tim.
Yeah, exactly.
Just like it wasn't January and February. It'd still be there.
Yeah, there's less snow. There was less snow then than there is now.
Yeah, I guess.
Go ahead and bring them in. Oh, well. Or will I take a break?
We've got to run out of time today, so...
Do we really need to even talk to them?
Is I know.
I'll send them home.
Yeah, go ahead. Have them come in.
Scare the hell out of them. Tell them their presentation is not necessary.
Yeah. Right.